Wolverine. It's
not Wolverine, like ching ching.
No, it is.
No, but like I'm not saying it's like a book that already exists.
It's not a book that already exists. It's its own thing. It's they started the first season with The Long Night, which was good, but it got better in the current season that they're doing right now, which is called Longest Trail or something like that. So I listened. I just finished listening to the latest episode, and usually it ends there because Apple Podcasts, it's done. And but it kept going, and I was like, okay. All I hear is, and they had her. It looked like they put her finger through a curly Q fry machine, and I was like, what the fuck kind of ad is this? What podcast is this weird thing? And it keeps going. Yeah, and I was like, wait, is that Mike? Oh, fuck, this is our podcast.
The old Rousey finger got us again.
Fingered.
Fingering's been an odd theme of today.
It really has been.
There's a lot of finger talk.
A lot of finger talk. Got him.
A lot of awkward silences.
After finger talk.
What sparked your Orlando Bloom little side note?
There? You.
You.
Did it?
Carnival Row.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess.
No.
It wasn't much of a...
Doesn't take much with me, Joseph.
Fair enough. Okay.
Does not.
Cody. Michael?
Yeah, Cody.
Yeah, Cody. Go fuck yourself.
You big dumb idiot. How's that feel?
I mean, hurtful.
Cry me a river, you bitch.
Yeah, fair enough. I never heard about Carnival Row until I saw this list and read about it. It seems like it might be kind of interesting.
It's going to be so bad.
It might actually be bad.
It has a potential of being terrible.
Because it's so Carnival Row, it premieres August 30th, which is this Friday, when this podcast comes out on Amazon Prime Video, in this pretty but kind of unimpressive, which is what makes me a little hesitant about it. And this is all from IO9. Fantasy, a fairy or fae named Vignette.
Yeah,
V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E, Vignette.
Vignette.
Sorry.
Wow.
Vignette. Stone Moss. Played by
how'd that moss get Cara so
Delevingne.
Hanging out with you?
Hey, man. And, don't out me on the podcast.
I mean, sorry?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a joke.
Nope, not joking at all. That is a real thing.
Yep.
Get with the times. Finds herself crossing paths with High Times at Cody's house. I don't know. At Mike's house. Finds herself crossing paths with her former lover, a detective named Rycroft Philostrate.
It's English, by the way.
Played by Orlando Bloom.
Broom.
After being forced from her homeland in a war, the series uses the fantasy genre to explore themes of immigration and systemic discrimination as Vignette and Rycroft work together to stop a serial killer and bring peace between human and fae. So it sounds interesting. I never did look up. I meant to see if it was based off of a book or anything or any type of...
I believe it's not. I believe it's some dude that's been trying to make it for a while.
Kind of its own thing there. Yeah. Give it a shot. But the big one this Friday is Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, which, if you did not know, is actually a prequel to the original Dark Crystal. So we'll watch this, and then I'm going to watch the original.
Want a fun little fact about Dark Crystal Resistance?
Sure.
Originally, it was going to be a planned sequel to Labyrinth.
Interesting.
But then, as they started developing it, they're like, you know what this would work as? Dark Crystal. And they're like, fuck it. Labyrinth out, Dark Crystal in. Because they fall under the same properties because they're all from Jim Hansen.
I'd rather see a Labyrinth sequel.
Technically, when I slipped up and asked where was David Bowie, it would have worked. It still worked.
True.
Dead, by the way.
Yeah.
Is the answer.
Yeah.
Wow.
David Bowie is dead.
You are correct, Mike. You are
gone.
Correct.
But not forgotten.
Well, the way you said it, it sounded like you wanted to forget him.
Nah, he's cool.
He's cool. He did that song Heroes. Yeah.
That one song? He made that one song?
Yeah, that one from the movie.
From that Stranger Things used twice, but it was sung by that other dude. Not Paul Simon. Fuck, what was his name?
Iron Chef Michael Simon.
Nope.
Yes. Sung?
I can't remember who sang the version that they used in Stranger Things.
You remember when Michael Simon did Restaurant Impossible for a season and it was way better than Robert Irvin?
Yeah, you know why? Well, he's not an asshole.
He didn't yell at everyone like a prick. Yeah. Like a big old roided up prick.
Big old roided up prick.
Just kidding.
Is that the bald guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he also do like Barroom Impossible or something like that?
No, that was the other guy, skinnier. This guy's like an ex-Marine, like English Marine or some sort.
Oh, then yeah, I don't think it's that guy I'm thinking of.
Married a pro wrestler.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Nailed it.
Sick Burn. Dearest Tosh. Some random guy that none of us ever met and don't actually like.
Tosh? What? Taj is some random guy?
No, Robert.
That some people don't like?
Points at me, yeah.
Points at Cody?
Yep.
Your friend. You like him the least amount. Sad, really, how you treat that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not bring up you guys.
I'll be interesting moving on to see Undone, another Amazon series that premieres the September 13th, which is a rotoscope animated show that's created by the BoJack Horseman creator Raphael Bob Wachsberg.
Close enough.
Wachsberg. Whatever. So that'll be interesting to see. Rosa Salazar is voicing one of the characters in it. She's from Alita: Battle Angel.
She has the big eyes, Mike.
And you have Bob Odenkirk from Breaking Bad fame in there.
Breaking Bad fame.
Well, I mean, it is. Mr. Show. And Better Call Saul, you know.
He's doing more stuff that's current.
Oh, that's stuff I haven't seen.
He's doing more cunt, yes. Is what I heard. I was like, whoa.
Just knee deep in cunt lately. He's...
Yeah, we wish. So, speaking of cunts.
I knew you were going to say it.
Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody.
Wait, are we the cunts?
Oh, got him! Man. Dear Sash.
Shit.
Can you please send
lotion?
We
burned ourselves.
I have burnt the crew. The collateral damage crew. We are in desperate need of your lotion. Please, please send. Yes. We know you're in Tampa, away from your child once again.
I always love like
how Mike brings up every single time.
Yes. Like as much as we've been joking about it with you, like every single time that just Taj says something like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't go there." Oh, because you got a kid now?
Like he's
or he goes on like he goes on this little trip for his work. Oh, you're moving again?
I almost expected Mike to say like, "You taking the kid this time?" Like I was like,
he would never take the kid with him.
I mean, he did move back here for the kid.
Yeah.
But that's about it, I think, really.
But we haven't established that he would move with the kid.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say we haven't established that it is his kid. I was like, Jesus, dude. You can't say that.
I mean, I asked him if he was going to ask for a DNA test, and he said no. I was like, well.
Pretty confident, huh?
Yeah. Confident you fucked up. Anyhow. Mike.
Yeah?
What are we talking about today?
Fucking Disney plus.
And?
The conference thing.
D23.
D23. Why do they call it 23?
Because that's the number.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. D23.
Well, no, isn't it every...
Do they change it every year?
Yeah, don't they change it every year?
No.
Next year it's going to be D24?
Nope. It's D23 every year.
Hmm.
So a lot of, if you don't know what D23 is, it's...
What is D23, Cody?
It is a Disney-centric expo or convention, and it's all about Disney properties.
It's like E3, but with Disney.
Yes. It's like E3, but it's D23 Expo.
Yeah. It's pretty much exactly what I just said.
Yes.
And what did they announce this year?
A few things. So the big thing we were talking about... last week, I think, is there's a lot of anticipation of delving deep into the Disney Plus half of it. So there's a lot
Which plus?
All of them.
Okay.
Up until this point, we haven't had a whole lot of visual, like trailers and stuff for it. There's a lot of stuff we had questions on when it came to just what's going to be on the service. We knew a few things. We knew about like some of the Marvel stuff. We knew about a couple of the Star Wars stuff, some of the Disney stuff, some of the Pixar stuff. And now we have a much more larger detail on a lot of them. We have trailers for stuff, which we watched together here a second ago. We watched a couple of them, some of the bigger ones. With more to come leading up to the release of the service, too. Don't be gross, Mike.
So the great Google machine that I have in front of me tells me that the D in D23 stands for
Disney,
and 23 is the 1923, the year that Walt Disney arrived in Hollywood and started the company.
So that's why it's like Club 23.
Mickey Mouse is a big Jordan fan.
No, isn't it Club 33?
Oh, yeah, sorry, Club 33. Why is it called Club 33?
Because 10 years later.
Great Google machine. Why is it called Club 33?
10 years later is when Disneyland opened.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Disneyland opened in 1933.
I am probably actually going to agree with that.
I guessed.
So the first and official explanation states that Club 33 gets its name solely from its address of 33 Royal Street in New Orleans Square.
That makes sense.
Son of a bitch.
A second and less well-known story speculates that the name honors their being 33 corporate sponsors at the Disney 1966 to 67 when the club was being built and opened.
What year did Disneyland open?
Wasn't 33.
Shut up. I'm gonna justify my guess somehow.
What guesses do you have?
33
for you.
I think it's in like mid 60s.
You're both wrong.
What was it?
July 17th,
1955.
Oh. What year did Walt Disney think of Disneyland?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
We're just going to skip over this because it's not why it's called that.
It's a good solid guess.
Yeah, sure.
If you didn't have any knowledge about anything. Made sense.
Which is why Mike made that guess.
Yeah.
So we will go. We'll skip over all the theme park stuff because it doesn't really matter to us.
It was pretty cool stuff, though. They showed off what their vision for Avengers Land is in California Adventures, which is mostly themed around Spider-Man, which is really weird.
That's funny now.
Yeah, I know. Funny now.
You stupid idiots.
What do they call everything?
Built like, your whole franchise on a character you don't get anymore. You dummies.
Web link.
Long live Sony!
Wow.
Sorry.
But it's really themed after like Web Labs, I think, or is the...
Oscorp, I think is what you're thinking.
No, they called everything like Web Labs or Web something or other. Even at one point, it looked like they had like one of the rides they at least had drawn out there is like the Buzz Lightyear ride over at Disneyland where you can shoot things as you're going through, so that it looked like you could like web sling things as you're going through. Looked pretty cool. Yeah,
that's dope.
It's called the Avengers Campus, by the way. It was the Marvel Land.
Sorry, Avengers Campus. But one of the sections was like at least from the artist rendition that they had, it was just like some sort of what was it called, web industries or something like that, but it was all Spider-Man themed, just going back
because they can use him in the park.
Yeah,
they just can't technically use him in the movies.
Yeah,
as of right now. We'll see what happens.
We'll figure that out.
We won't. I mean, if it was up to us, we'd have been finished already.
I already figured it out.
They have a lot of plans for a lot of things. Spider-Man being one of them for sure. They have one that's based around Ant-Man. We could shrink down and go all small.
They had there's going to be a restaurant there, and I can't remember it was Pym's Particles or something like that restaurant where you could order stuff and like base it on the size that you want it. And so it's like Pym in particle size. You can like order large portions or very small portions.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Talk about the crazy hotel they're building in Disney World, which is a Star Wars one. It's a actual, like, it's a ship. It's like, yeah, like a Star Cruise liner. And so you're actually on the ship. The hotel is like you're in the ship in space.
Remember when they did that for Star Trek?
Yep.
That didn't last long.
Nope.
I would have stayed there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you would have.
You would have too.
Yeah, I would have. I thought there was a name for the Ant-Man thing.
For the actual ride?
Yeah.
I didn't run across the ride. I just ran across the
they're gonna, and it's cool because they're talking about how the Marvel's, so Avengers Campus is going to be very similar to the way that Galaxy's Edge is set up, where like it's
isolated,
from everything else. It's in the corner. They're going to have a full-size Quinjet there. That's pretty cool.
Right. And wasn't that supposed to be also a ride?
Yeah, inside the building. Inside the building. Yeah, right. But it's just like the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, exactly. But, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah. So they have a lot of plans. Epcot's getting its first ever ride and experiences, because right now it's not very Disney-esque, because it has never been that way. They showed footage of Rise of the Resistance, which is the new ride for Galaxy's Edge that opens in December in Orlando and January in Anaheim, so two different times. Let's see what else was there. Concept art for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is a new ride going up in what used to be called Toontown.
Oh, okay.
Which they're going to, I guess, redoing. I don't think it said this, not this coming summer, the summer after, I think they said it was.
Which is good.
But they're going to tie a lot of like the old classic, older animated Disney stuff is going to be in there.
Okay. That area cool. Definitely needs a facelift. I know we didn't visit it at all the last time we went.
Yeah.
We didn't even walk by. We hardly even walked by the castle, really.
Yeah, like, walked in front of it. Like, we didn't go into anything in Fantasyland at all. That's
Fantasyland and then Toontown.
Yeah.
But the last time I was there, it was like, it's cool, but it needs a facelift. Oh, did you also read that? And this perplexed me at first. They kept talking about the fries as you enter into Tomorrowland. And I'm like, is there a famous like cart that sells French fries in front of Tomorrowland? No, they're talking about getting rid of the rocks in front of Tomorrowland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's just so many people that walk through there. It's just
a funnel. Because we went around that. Yeah. Like, they have the two ways. I think one is like super out of the way because it goes around it instead of like straight. And so everyone goes to that straight shot and it gets fucking...
Yeah.
The first time we went that direction, this time we got all bottlenecked in there. And the last time we went around it, it was a little easier. But so you still run into that bottleneck between the rocket ride like right past the rocks, you have the rocket ride thing. And then you have Star Tours that's on the side. And it kind of gets all... Because you can't go around Star Tours. You have to go in front of it.
Yeah.
And it just gets called all busy right there.
So they'll be getting rid of the rocks in front of Tomorrowland.
Which to me always look like Pride Rock for some reason. Because the way it jets out.
Yeah, it does.
But it's like, I never knew why it was there other than just like landscape.
It was one of those weird things when they first came up with that land because it was very based around, exploration and it was for then when they came up with like space and whatnot. So it
made shit up.
So it was supposed to be, made shit up. It was supposed to be that like futuristic, otherworldly type structure type thing, and now it's just fucking rocks to us.
Just rocks. So then from there, from the Disney Park stuff, they talked about Pixar and Walt Disney Animation, which they showed off new footage from Frozen 2, which we're supposed to get another full-length trailer soonish. Because it comes out in a few months. They talked about they showed footage for Onward, which is the new fantasy movie from the makers of I want to say that one is Disney Animation, right? Or is that one Pixar? Nope, that one's Pixar. This is the one that has Chris Pratt and Tom Holland in it, as well as Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Octavia Spencer. But it's a fantasy one because they play elves, if I'm not mistaken. I'm like, kind of like, they're like, you know, like Chris Pratt's character is like the older brother of Tom Holland's character, and like he's in a rock band.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird. It looks really cool, though. They showed a teaser off. I want to say it was that. It was before Comic-Con.
Okay.
I think. I can't remember which one it was. They talked about the new Pixar movie Soul, which doesn't have anything other than a title and some concept art for the characters, but has Jamie Foxx in it.
What you laughing at over there?
He's on Twitter again.
No, I'm not. I'm actually following along with what's going on here. But it's... That joke, though.
Okay.
We're waiting.
No, keep going. It sounds like it's probably going to be a bad joke that we don't want to repeat.
Yeah.
Now I want to hear it.
Tina Fey's in it.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That's what I was getting at before someone giggled out loud. But yeah, so that one is the next Pixar big movie, and it's the most abstract and jazziest film to date, as it said.
No.
Yeah. Even jazzier than...
Jazz? They haven't made a jazz movie yet, but yeah, I guess it would be the thing. Then they talked about Raya and the Last Dragon, which has a really cool key art they showed off, which is, I'm guessing, Raya riding a... I think it's a sloth turtle.
Oh.
I'm not too sure what it actually is, because it looks very slothy, but also has like a shell on it like a turtle. But in the background, you can see what looks to be a dragon flying in the clouds. Or made out of clouds? Actually, not too sure.
Fair enough.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yes, that is more of a dragon. That's like a, yeah.
Yeah, like dragon in the clouds, right? Because that's not a dragon.
No, because you're
looks right. Looks like a that's slothy thing with a turtle shell.
Weird slothy thing.
Yeah. So they talk about that, which is, I believe, that one is Disney Animation. Yeah. And then, obviously, the Frozen stuff, they showed off footage. And apparently answers a lot more questions of why, what was happening in that other trailer that they released.
Someone's got, is that Awkwafina lady again, isn't that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that lady is, but she's in everything.
A lot
now.
Of shit, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. She just snuck up on everyone. She's like, nah, bitch, I'm the biggest star ever.
She's apparently really multi-talented.
Wasn't she a singer?
I thought that's what she was. And then I started seeing promos for that Farewell movie. I guess it's like her movie. And then now she's like popping up in like all kinds of weird like Disney shit and other stuff.
So then we get Disney Plus trailers.
There we go. This is what we're ready for.
This is what we watched the bulk of right now. So they gave us... I only showed you guys the stuff that I thought was more... to our likings, because there are other stuff like Encore, which is a reality show about reunion cast members from the original High School Musical coming back together by Kristen Bell. So I skipped over that one.
Awkwafina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just the water.
Not anymore.
She was in the movie Crazy Rich Asians, which I heard was good.
Yeah. I haven't watched it.
Neither have I. And Ocean's 8.
Which I haven't watched.
Oh, she'll be in the next Jumanji movie.
She isn't that, which I will watch.
Huh, okay.
Like Mike said, she's in a lot of things. So we did watch the trailer for Noelle, which is a new Christmas movie starring Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader, which I thought was extremely funny. The trailer, at least.
Looked really good.
We watched the live-action trailer for Lady and the Tramp, which weirdly is not going to theaters, is going directly to the streaming network.
Which is just a reason to get the streaming network.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's one of those things. Amongst all the other stuff that's coming out, it's more of like a, hey, this is an original one. You can't get anywhere else. Like, you couldn't have a chance to see this anywhere else.
If the world, according to Jeff Goldblum, isn't enough.
Yeah, right? Like, you know.
Here's all this other stuff that, exactly. that you could get.
And some, like, some...
With Disney
Plus
Was
it called
service.
Star Wars?
Yeah, something... The Mandolin, or something like that.
You're a monster. You're a monster. You're a fucking monster.
You know, Middle Eastern... Not Middle Eastern. Middle Ages guitar. You know, ding, 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 ding.
A banjo?
No, that's
a
banjo.
So we also watched a trailer for... The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which looks like the most ridiculous documentary series ever
which I just
conceived.
Want to see because it just looks off the wall and weird.
Yeah.
And it looks like he travels to different places and meets different people. And I love that type of stuff. I love like the Joshua Gates type of legendary locations or the, you know, travels here and meets people. Or Anthony Bourdain stuff was perfect as well. It wasn't just him going to other places and eating different foods. It was him meeting people and interacting with them and whatnot. And that's what this seems like it's going to be. But Jeff Goldblum's little weirdness on it. So I'm definitely sold for it. Triple D for life.
Yeah, basically. He's going and looking at different cultures and different subcultures as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of it focuses around stuff that has a large following behind it, it looked like to me. Because he does, like, sneakers.
Yeah.
He does, like, the tattoo convention. It looks like he goes in one of those. There's, you know, one of them is, like, he goes to this, because believe it or not, this is a real thing, the underground world of ice cream making.
Yeah.
Which I knew about before this. I just love the fact that he's going to explore it and, like,
and it's one of those things, like, you wouldn't really think that there would be something like that.
Exactly, right? So that's pretty awesome. We still haven't seen them, but they debuted two different Jungle Cruise trailers, which is upsetting that we didn't get to see them.
Right. One of them was The Rock talking about the movie, and the other one was
Emily Blunt
talking about the movie, but from like different sides of it, for at least from what I heard was explained, where The Rock was like playing up how he's the action hero and whatnot. And
yes.
Then Blunt was like, no, that's not correct at all. This is really what happens. Yeah.
It's basically they did, in almost in character, their point of view of the movie.
Yeah.
And so, but again, we as people who didn't attend D23 like the rest of the world, we do not get to see them yet.
No.
So boom. That sucks for us. They showed off new footage of the Mulan movie, which apparently was captivating and amazing.
Yeah.
And they got to see Mushu in action.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't hear that.
Without voice, apparently. They did not have the voice added in yet.
Okay.
But they have until next May, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, so we got some time before for them to finish all that stuff up.
Some time for them to offer a bigger contract to Eddie Murphy.
Right?
That's exactly what they're waiting for. We got our first...
already done the voice work. You just have to...
Literally, they could have done this. They could have just, like... We own it already.
Copy. Paste.
Hey, animators, animate this. And they're like, yeah, I guess that's pretty easy.
They fuck up and they take donkey lines.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, oh, this doesn't make any sense at all. Like,
why does he keep saying the word Shrek? Who the fuck is Shrek?
Who the fuck is Shrek?
Let's see. They showed off the first image of Cruella de Vil from the live-action prequel movie starring Emily Stone. Have you seen the picture yet? It looks pretty rad.
I saw it.
Let me put it up real quick. There you go, Mike. Boop.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yep. So that'll be out next year, I believe. I think it's next Christmas, actually, to tell you the truth. I could be wrong about that, but... Oh, yeah, I was wrong. It's May. May of next year. Or May, oh, shit, May of 2021.
So not next year.
God damn.
The year after that.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because it's directed by the guy who did I, Tonya.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So it's really... Apparently that guy's, like, really good at, like... movie making. So that's interesting. And it has one of the guys that was in I, Tonya too. Plays one of the henchmen by the name of Joel Fry, I believe. I can't remember which one it was in there, but they play the Joel Fry's from Game of Thrones. Paul Walter Hauser is the one from I, Tonya. But they play Horus and what's the other guy's name?
No clue. Henchman number one and Jasper. Number two are really all
Jasper
I know.
And Horus. So that's
the thin one.
And they literally have a fat one and a thin one.
Well, yeah.
So that's that one, and then we jump over to Star Wars. A few things here to talk about. They had a lot of the set or the costumes and stuff from this, as well as the Mandalorian. But one of the big ones is they showed off the Jet Trooper from Rise of Skywalker, which is pretty cool. If you haven't seen it, I will also pull that up.
Remember way back in the day when who was it? J.J. Abrams said that the subtitles of the three new movies
were going to make a fucking sentence.
Would make a fucking sentence, and I guess like, it makes a sentence.
Jet Trooper.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's not really exactly comprehensible, but it makes a sentence.
Yeah, I mean it's not a great sentence whatsoever.
No,
the Force Awakens, the Last Jedi, the Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. The problem with that is every single one, and I said this before, is the first two we knew of at that time, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, both start with the word the.
Yeah.
It's really hard to make a sentence make sense with the word the in there.
Yeah.
And then when you go to the third one, usually all of them have the that precedes it, and so how's that going to make another sentence? It's kind of like someone you don't know how to use English properly.
Right. You end up with the.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you do like The Phantom Menace, The Clone Wars...
Was it really called The Clone Wars, or was it just called Clone Wars?
Might be called Clone Wars.
I think it was just called Clone Wars.
Oh, The Clone Wars is the cartoon.
Yeah, or something like that. Doesn't I never matter. Watched the cartoon, so I'm not sure.
You are dumb. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, Joe. You're not dumb. Not for that reason. Let's see. Then, obviously, we watched collectively here, we watched the sizzle reel, as it's referred to, or the new footage reel from D23, which is essentially just a... Yet another teaser, because God forbid give us a real fucking trailer right away, 4 months out. We have a mix between old footage and of all the previous movies and new footage.
And I love just how people are getting so tied up in that old footage part, especially with Darth Maul in there.
Yes.
And well, whatnot. But like literally all you're doing in that footage right there is just kind of summing up the story along with the voiceover that's going along that literally doesn't tell you that it has anything to do with the movie whatsoever. You're just summing the story.
I agree with you, but every other clip has a direct line to these movies.
But that's because these movies, for better or for worse, which I don't mind it. I actually like the way they do it because it's that hero's journey that repeats over and over again. It's a very much a loop. Other people don't like it because they don't understand that. Episode 7 followed episode, the similar events of episode 4. Episode 8 followed similar themes of episode. I'm taking it back to the original trilogy. Followed similar ideas of episode 5. And then this is where we're at right now with episode 9. And I get that feeling, that look, especially when you have Rey in the dark cloak, of similar ideas that you had in episode 6, where Luke, in between episodes 5 and 6, went and did training and became a Jedi. And then he shows up fully trained, or mostly trained, in his dark cloak and clothing at the beginning there. So that's what I think you're seeing here, is that it's mirroring what's happening in episode 6. And that's just, people aren't getting that. They're throwing all these weirdo...
Like, I 100%, if you really agree with me about it, I agree. It probably means absolutely nothing. In my heart, though, the only thing that was... And it's not a bummer in terms of the story, but the only thing that I refuse to believe from, the last one is that Rey's parents are nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So anything where I could attach any type of hope to, Rey being... have this really badass background story. I'm hoping for
it. I'm literally
thinking, even if it's outlandish, I was joking earlier, but that is a lot of the rumors that there's some type of Darth Maul connection to Rey, especially because when you see Rey having what I'm guessing is a dark side vision, like had she gone the other way, because Luke had one, right? Or kind of similar-ish. But she has that double saber, and then she clicks it, and it pops down, and it looks like Darth Maul's. I'm like, well, that's fucking amazing. Like,
yeah, he had that vision when he was training with Yoda of fighting against Vader, and when he cuts off the mask,
Vader, it shows him,
and it's supposed to be that, like, you know, yes. This is what you could be following the dark side, especially when you find out your dad is actually Darth Vader. And I agree, like, there is nothing else in that trailer, because when they only show her cloaked once in it, they don't show it at any other time.
Yeah.
She looks normal every other time. It definitely could be a...
And the only other thing, too, is, like, the fact that they put him in Solo was, like, it at the time just seemed like cool fan service. You know what I mean? It's like, awesome. That's dope. But it also, like, if that was just it, it almost seemed like a waste.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't supposed to be it, because Solo was supposed to be its own thing that branched off, but nobody really liked it. So Disney's kind of like, well, that just happened.
People shit on it for no reason.
We're kind of done.
Solo was dope as fuck.
It was very fun, wasn't it?
So fun.
The only other thing that would concern me and lead me towards the fact that Rey, that dark cloaked Rey that we see there, is some sort of evil version of her, is the fact that it is a red lightsaber that she uses. And usually within all, and Cody can correct me if I'm wrong, within all of the Star Wars, at least movies that I've seen, none of the good guys use red lightsabers.
That is true. That is a Sith thing.
Yeah, because even Luke went from like a white to a green, and I think he had blue. Yeah.
Blue started off.
Yeah, because the blue, right, you're correct.
Blue
because
Anakin's.
The early ones, it looks white because of just the
terrible animation,
but it's supposed to be a blue.
Shitty graphics.
But classically, all of your bad guy characters used red lightsabers.
Because that was the sign of the Sith, because they corrupted the Kyber crystal.
And so, yes, that's the only thing that takes that, like, this could be the Uber trained Rey away from that. Is the red lightsabers right there. And especially since the red, like I said, the rest of the trailer just shows regular Rey, and she's using...
what looks to be a repaired version of the saber that got ripped in half?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's very bizarre to me.
Very bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with Darth Maul. I think it was just a cool symmetry of being able to see, like, that epic scene of Darth Maul lighting both blades of his lightsaber for the first time against Obi-Wan in Qui-Gon Jinn. And it was just, that was like, I remember seeing in the theaters all 16 times. It was just a really cool, like, aesthetic, because Lucas, amongst all of his faults, has always had a really good villain aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a lot of people have, like, a really good villain aesthetic, because you can do crazy things where heroes never get that, unless you're Indiana Jones. Because who doesn't love a fucking fedora and a whip, you know what I mean?
Right.
And a pistol. So you have that, you always have that cool, that something cool the villains always have, where all the Jedi and good people are always just kind of plain and bland, you could say, in a way.
Very much so.
Having this vision or whatever of Rey cloaked in black, popping a dual-bladed lightsaber is a cool aesthetic. The problem is, if she was Sith, her eyes would be orange because she, at that point, she would have been fallen. But I doubt that if that was a fact, they would have shown it off this at all in trailers, in no matter what. Especially something that if they would have shown that behind, like, to only D23 people. A, it would have been shitty to do, because then everyone would hear about it in a, like, third person. But also knowing that they were going to release that footage for everybody a couple days later, having something that big and massive in it, that's what would draw people back into the theaters, because that's one of those things. Like I said last night, Cap wielding the hammer for the first time.
Right.
You don't have that in the original trailers.
Not at all.
Until weeks later, when it's already been discussed in the zeitgeist and on the internet everywhere, that holy shit, Cap finally wields the hammer like a badass, mm-hmm. right? That's the kind of thing that would put asses back in seats again, as well as draw new asses into seats, is Rey being that way. Now, I don't think that's Rey in at all. I think it's very similar to what happened in Empire Strikes Back, where Luke went into that cave to face his biggest fear, and his biggest fear was him falling to the dark side to see what this would happen. Because at that point, we still didn't know that Darth Vader was his father.
Right.
It wasn't until shortly after that when he gets his hand chopped off and he's about to get fucking fallen off into
Cloud City?
Clouds? Yeah, like just, well, no, into the trash chutes and stuff.
Yeah.
In the Cloud City. Which, by the way, a terrible dad. You can help him up at that point. Even if he lets go, it's like, you have the Force. Just pick his ass up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he let him fall. He's terrible fine. Father. Anyhow, so I don't think that's... I don't think they would have wasted it if it was true that was her. But, you know, I've been proven wrong before. But I doubt that the powers that be and the smart people involved in this would let that happen.
Do you think that we actually find a definitive answer to who's... Rey's parents are?
Her lineage? Yes, her lineage. We do.
You do?
Yes. Who is it? I have no clue. Clearly, it has to do someone linked to Skywalker because of the fact that the saber talked to her, right. Like it called to her, and her visions all had to do with things surrounding a Skywalker. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense not to be. How and who? I have no idea. I truly have no idea. It can be anywhere, but I just doubt it's something like it's a clone of Darth Vader, or it's a clone of it's anything that she's somehow a child of somebody because she.
Well, yeah, that was another one. They were saying it's the clone of Emperor, a female clone of Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah,
which doesn't make sense either.
No, not at all.
No.
Now the reason. Now, if you want to go super crazy deep, if we want to go to the fact that if she's somehow related to Palpatine, she could be Jade Mara's daughter with Luke that Luke didn't know about because Mara Jade is a female clone of Palpatine who was sent to kill Luke but fell in love with him. And through the story, they could tell you that she fell in love. She knew she couldn't stay with him because, well, she would put him in even more danger, even though, come on, he's... clearly he's in danger because he gets an assassin sent after him.
Yeah.
She leaves being pregnant with Rey. She dumps Rey off in the outer areas of the galaxy on the outer rim because nobody's going to fucking look for her there and distances herself from everything. And that's one reason why it could be Rise of the Skywalker, because technically she's a Skywalker. Because I don't think they'll ever say they were actually technically married. But that could be the link between the Skywalker half and the Palpatine half. But I think the Palpatine half doesn't have to do anything other than the fact they go after the Death Star or the crashed second Death Star, I guess is really what people are saying, because that's what you see in the first trailer. And everyone's like, Palpatine's alive. Nah, motherfucker, he's a Sith ghost. Like, there's no way they're going to have him, because otherwise he wouldn't have
survived that fall.
Yeah.
The crashing of the fucking Death
Star. Well, it blew up, right? Like, it blew up. So, yeah, he could be a clone, but it's like, that's not like why did it take this long for him to come out of hiding, you know what I mean? Like he's not exactly the most
been trapped in that tube for a little bit too long. His nose is a little pushed up.
He looks like a human pug. He overgrew his tube. Yeah, he's exactly. Like, I'm still growing in here. That's why he looked like the way he did in the chair, and that's just who he is. But yeah, so I think that's
what if they don't ever explain it, if they do explain it, and they're just like, yeah, no, her parents really were just like
horseshit
people,
horseshit.
But the Rise of Skywalker refers to his version of the Jedi, the Gray Order, exactly. Is what it's called, so much the black and white that we had in the past, where these powers are specifically Sith
because
these
they corrupt you, and you have to do
are it. Specifically Jedi, and the Jedi are supposed to be like this. But yeah, exactly. You get now it's the Rise of the Gray Order. It's the order that tries to actually bring balance to the Force,
a true balance, not a
true balance,
is our thing, yes. And this is their thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But a because true balance you're going to the ability to use both. Yes, mm-hmm. There's probably still would be things that are off limits, like trying to bring people back from the dead.
Or killing people for the fun of it.
But the ability, you know, use Force lightning or I'm trying to think about other like Sith things that are more
Using the Force to harm someone really is a big thing.
Yeah.
other than just pushing and pulling.
Or like seeing the future or something, because I thought that was a...
No, because Leia can do that too.
Leia can do that too, okay. But yeah, again, the Grey Order type thing, Rise of the Skywalker, meaning that it's an actual balance, true balance of the Force, and that's how it's taught, not as a black and white subject, but as a gray subject. Yep.
So yes, I mean, that could be very much like, because it is Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
But it could be that, obviously, if she is a Skywalker, that would be the same thing. She's going to do the same approach to it. She's going to learn what she's learned from Luke and bring it on, because that was the whole thing. It was the reason why they wanted to destroy Luke's temple and all of his everybody is because he was teaching them essentially the Grey Order. He was teaching them how to use the balance of the Force and how to control things. Not so he wanted them to be able to shoot lightning, but be able to handle it, could be able to control it and make it a neutralized weapon for the Sith would be the idea. Plus, they could shoot lightning because, I mean, come on, who doesn't want to shoot lightning?
Right.
I mean, he only has one hand to do it with, but because he has you can't do it with the metal hand. It has to be flesh and bone. I mean, so there's a lot of wacky little theories out there. And we still haven't got an actual full-length trailer, like a story trailer, which rumors are we're either getting it at the end of this week or sometime beginning of the middle of next week.
I did think it was odd that Star Wars did this type of trailer. I thought it was cool with the old stuff blended in with the new stuff. But I did find it odd that, like, a week prior to this, Rambo did it. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
It was essentially the exact same thing.
I
was like, wonder if somebody
at Disney wasn't like, that's awesome. Yeah, we have a property we can do that with.
Somebody at Rambo caught wind that Disney was going to do this for Star Wars, and they're like, well, fuck, we can hurry up and make one real quick.
Right.
Because it seems, like, how many times do you see something like this, and it's just weird for two of them to come out?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Obviously, one has a much bigger impact in pop culture.
If you go to if you go to coincidence, they are both the end of a series.
Yeah.
Like, Stallone's already said, like, this is going to be, like, what's called Last Blood. This is the last of the Rambo story John Rambo story. Who knows if his niece continues
Creed,
on?
Creed comes in, starts killing people.
Michael Jordan's
like a weird whole career now just to be
weirdly soft booting sequels
to Stallone movies.
Okay, you sold me.
Oh, great!
You sold me.
Can't wait for his Tango and Cash movie.
Yes.
Yes, bitch. Yes. See, you thought it was a dumb idea until you really started thinking about it. Then it's
well, I was
fun.
Thinking, like, I was whatever the ones because he do, but once you say, like, Tango and Cash, I'm in. Like, who is he a relative of?
Who cares? Wyatt Russell's going to be in it, though. We already established that earlier today.
Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, to the point is, they are both the end of essentially a story. Obviously, with the Skywalker thing, it's 9 movies because the other ones aren't technically Skywalker movies because there's really no Skywalkers in them. So that's like wrapping up that, and obviously wrapping up John Rambo's story would be the same thing. But you are right. It's very weird that they both have that kind of same thing where it's like old Rambo stuff leading into new Rambo stuff, which, by the way, the new trailer is savage as hell. When he's bearing the bullets in the ground, I was thinking, what the fuck is this gonna do? Like, they don't show it in the trailer, so I'm like, I'm just waiting for someone to get shot through the everything underneath.
Didn't they stab that guy through the neck?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Rambo, let's get after it.
Yeah, and then the explosions.
It is weird seeing a Rambo with short hair. Whatever.
No, we're getting half audio again.
There we go. We're back to normal.
Thanks.
It's fine. People only listen mono, anyways. But yeah, you're right. It is very bizarre that that's a thing.
Listeners have mono?
No, they listen in mono.
Gross.
I mean, they may have mono, but I mean,
clean yourself up, yes.
Hey, man, anyway. Kissing disease.
Take some medicine.
Take some Tussin. And even the next trailer, I don't think, if it's anything like the Force Awakens and the Last Jedi trailer, it's not going to tell you a whole lot.
No.
It's just going to give you longer sustained shots of certain things.
I just like the fact that in this one we got to see the whole new group together at one point. I was like, that's what I want to see, man. Like, we didn't really get that in the second
one. That's to Joe's point, is that's the coming around to it. When you get to Return of the Jedi, that's exactly what happens at the beginning. Luke comes together, not knowing it, well, not knowing he knew exactly what was going on, that everyone was already there, and so he got everyone back together, and from then on out to the end of the movie, other than the fact they split up on, you know, on Endor, but they're still kind of there.
Cause they're working, you know, as a group.
Yeah, they're working as a group.
Like, it's the last idea. One, Finn took off doing his own thing. I'm like, you dummy, get back over here and stop thinking you're going to quit. You're not going to quit.
Right?
Everyone likes you too much. You can't be a quitter.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, but that's exactly the point is. And
he almost obviously, suicide bombed himself, too, to
help
the cause. Right?
And really thinking about it, that lady probably should have let him. Would have saved a whole lot of issues.
I guess, yeah, but...
She didn't know Rey was going to have the Force and shit and move a bunch of rocks for him.
It's true.
Imagine if Rey was like 10 minutes later, all those people would be dead.
Would have been less of a heroic moment for her.
Yeah, but a super heroic moment for Finn. I'm not saying I like the idea, maybe, but like, it's just from
unless he did it and then it ended up collapsing the whole thing and killing everybody.
It just slightly like put it off, but it still opened it up. Yeah, it just, I'm not saying it would have been a good movie idea. I'm saying if they're in that situation and some crazy asshole is going to suicide bomb himself to take out the enemy. Thanks, man.
Wow.
Just saying.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. Yikes. Yikes.
Ooh.
But anywho, so that's Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. I always want to throw in the at the end there because it just makes...
The Skywalker.
Yeah, just but it's not the Skywalker. It's Skywalker.
Maybe that's just what they're going to call Jedis now. Skywalkers.
That's what he said earlier.
Yeah, I know.
It's, instead of like going to the Force,
but like the actual Jedi thing.
Oh, you're a Skywalker.
Yeah,
exactly. See, works out like that little kid in the broom. With the broom,
he's just using the Force to do chores. Be a hero, you little dick.
He wants to be a hero.
Yeah, he's that's the point.
Doing chores. Yeah.
You know what's fucked up. Is if Finn was any like good, he would have taken that kid with him.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
oh, he shit, left his ass there. Force.
Let's go.
Yeah, this kid could be come in handy.
Finn needs to have a better third movie, by the way.
Instead of being an invalid and beat up all the time.
Yeah, he needs a like.
He needs a hero moment. Pack.
Yeah, he needs a good hero moment. Like he kind of had some, but not really.
Well, it's interesting because in this trailer, you see him and I can't think of her name right now, but that new one of the new characters in it. That is rumors to be Lando's daughter.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah, because when you're going to have only one black person. Oh, no, I guess Finn is in this one, too. So, never mind. Yeah,
so now
that doesn't apply anymore.
But it just when you see them, it's cool because you can clearly tell they're not in the Millennium Falcon. They're in something else because the reason you can see this is outside the cockpit looks different. But the window to our right, their left, you can see the cockpit of a new B-Wing. So you know it's not the Millennium Falcon because Millennium Falcon would have just body there. It would be just the ship. So that's kind of cool. And then what else was dope in that trailer? Well, Kylo walking and popping a saber and dragging it through the ground was just... Plus the way they transitioned that scene into him and Rey fighting on the wrecked portion of the Death Star in the water was fucking amazingly, immaculately done. Because he pops his everything's is an ice planet, but it's still I think it might be the desert planet just at night because it didn't. The reason why is because there was fissures in the ground. It didn't look it didn't look icy. It looked more rocky than anything else. But that doesn't mean it's not frozen ground. I'm just saying as he drags it across the sand or snow or whatever pops in the air, and then it transitions to waves crashing past him, and then he of course there and locked in battle. Which is pretty cool.
Yep, pretty cool.
Pretty dupe. And of course you hear Palpatine's voiceover coming across saying that you're something or other is nearing its end. You're not destiny, says something else. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But yeah, anyways, that's the new footage for Rise of Skywalker. Then we also watched a trailer for The Mandalorian, the very first, not the only, the very first live-action Star Wars television program, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of amazing people involved in this, behind and in front of camera. So many people are involved in this. Some you don't see, but you do see because you see IG-11, who is voiced by Taika Waititi, the director and writer of Thor Ragnarok and soon to be Thor 4, as well as many other things.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not just doing that. Rumors are he's going to be in Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, yeah.
That's pretty cool. James Gunn bringing the fucking heat, apparently. But they announced that Ewan McGregor is coming back for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Really cool.
Which I think will be the way to tie in Darth Maul back into it. Because they have a big kind of thing that happens in the Clone Wars cartoon.
So you're saying that this is going to be a kind of a continuation of his story.
Yes.
Not a prequel of how he became.
No, it'll basically shed the light on where he went at the end of episode 3 to when old ass McGinnis, but yeah. You'll see that time of him.
He's going to run for 30 years.
Yeah, right. Jesus Christ. Well, technically it's 18 years. Not going to split hairs. Because the birth of Luke,
too, yeah, we're not going to really trying to get into the whole, yeah.
That's like the whole X-Men with Magneto thing.
Yeah.
Well, because we don't know what his race is, so he could age differently.
Yeah, that's a cop-out excuse.
It's not really a cop-out excuse because you have to realize that all of these characters, and we've explained this before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are not humans. They humanoid. Look humanoid.
Yeah, exactly.
They look like us, anyway, but they are not humans. So they,
anywho.
The biggest part of this, though, is there is a chance... I'm not saying it has to be, but for everybody that's like jonesing for more Darth Vader.
Darth Maul.
No, I'm saying jonesing for more Darth Vader.
This could be it because you are in the time frame of Darth Vader.
The only problem with that is Vader and Obi-Wan never see each other again until A New Hope.
Yes, but people are looking for him. You know
of
what
course,
I mean?
Like, yeah.
We don't have to have that showdown.
Yeah,
and Vader is kind of sending people out to kill Jedi in this time frame too.
That brings me to the next live action show, which has a closer tie to that, which is the Cassian show, which brings back two of the characters from Rogue One, which happen to be steeped in the Vader time frame.
Yeah,
because he knows who Vader is. He was very terrified of Vader, and it brings back both Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk to reprise their roles from Rogue One.
I didn't even hear about that.
That's why I was going to bring that up. Now, I was going to bring it up anyways, but also...
That's that Marvel thing. They're dead.
Well, this takes place before Rogue One.
Yes.
Knowing what happens to them, though. You know what I mean? Doesn't that...
No. I mean, I see what you're saying, but you're wrong. Because we get to see who they are beforehand, before they become... Because he was obviously he was a rebel.
Right.
Very steeped and heavily in the rebel. Like, scum. Hardcore. So you get to see, how he got with... spacing on his droid's name now. I just thought of it. Alan Tudyk's character.
Yeah.
Anyways, so you get to see like probably their relationship building, and then how he interacts with the Rebel Alliance, and so that's cool because you get to see him where he gets. Obviously, we do know what happens to him, which is shitty because the original thing was he was not supposed to die, but then they're like, well, we can't explain why he's not showing up in the other movies, so we'll just kill him all. That's our bad.
That was a great ending.
It was a great ending. It's just like it sucks because they could have done. You could have had more, but it does make sense because they should have shown up if they were so big into the rebellion. They should have shown up later in the movies. But yeah, anyhow,
they just CG him in like just
in the background.
Like, just do
Grandma Tarkin.
Put some in the background.
Star Wars Special Editions 2.
So they mentioned the Cassian show, which for some reason isn't. In this list here? Well, that's weird. Way to go, stupid website. So that's that. And then, obviously, back to what we're talking about is The Mandalorian. This is created by Jon Favreau, who will always and forever be known as the director of Iron Man.
Yep.
Even though technically he wrote them.
Have you guys seen Chef?
No, actually.
I think they're trying to tie into...
Fuck out of here, you asshole. How have you not seen Chef yet?
Fuck, I have to leave. Sorry, guys. Bye.
I've seen that movie like 9 times.
No, yeah. I haven't seen Chef at all.
It's like one of the best movies ever.
Yes, yeah. It's true.
Your opinion, man.
That's it like will be yours, too, your if you stop opinion, being a man. That's just like, no. You know, your opinion,
man. Oh, man.
Hey, you won me back over. You're Colton Big Manowski. Good job.
So, to...
we're friends again.
Yes.
I can't say I'm mad at you. So, Jon Favreau worked with Dave Filoni, who is a big into... A, he like knows so much about Star Wars lore, it's ridiculous. But he's the one that created the second Clone Wars cartoon. As well as he helped do Rebels and the new one, which I can't think of the name of. Yeah, I forget what it is. But so this one takes place after the fall of the Empire, but before the rise of the First Order. So it could take place over the same time length as basically episodes 4, 5, and 6, but it's on the outer reaches, so he's outside. But he is, the reason he's called a Mandalorian, because he is a Mandalorian, but he's also...
You see a scene where he's, like, flying in a ship, and in the background, you see, like, a battle from one of the movies. He's like, oh, that looks dirty, I don't want to go there.
Gonna take a left here at Albuquerque.
Hey, kids, look at all the plate.
Guess we're not gonna go see the biggest yarn ball in the world.
Everybody seeing this plate?
So... Pedro Pascal plays the Mandalorian, whose name we don't actually know yet, other than the Mandalorian, which is what everyone refers to him as, because he is the Mandalorian, because at this point, the Mandalorians have fallen from, well, almost everything, and the fact that they've been disgraced by Jango and Boba. And Boba, at this point, is dead. So we think...
Good.
Just in like...
What?
The fact that, you know, people hate the fact that he redid it where he gets away. Go ahead, what are you going to say?
Why do you think Star Wars is so scared to just pull, or are they just waiting, just pull the trigger on like the fan service stuff, or just from a story point?
Because it's not going to make a good show.
Yeah.
It will not.
The fans are usually wrong.
No, I just mean in terms of like characters, like why haven't Darth Maul might be in the Obi-Wan one, which would be huge because everyone wants to see more of him.
Spoiler, like, that's who kills him, by the way, finally.
Yeah.
Because he comes down and hunt down Luke.
Or, like, why isn't there a bigger presence of Vader in these things? Like, everyone's, even the people who didn't like Rogue One.
Which are dumb people.
We'll talk about how amazing the Vader scene was.
Because it's going to end up being like you have with the Alien movies. Think of what you have, your favorite Alien movies are the movies where you don't really see them doing a
whole lot.
It
gives you the whole like leave you wanting more,
and that's the problem, is that when you finally just have everything that you want, it's just not going to be good.
Die happy. Oh, I thought you said you die happy.
Well, to that point is you
give me 10 episodes of Darth Vader wrecking shit.
Gonna be harder to give people what they want and make it, like Joe said, good, just because you're trying to build something around this one aesthetic. Now I think,
and then at what point getting into some of the games, like at what point are you going to have like Darth Vader the ability to pull a Star Destroyer down out of the sky and then not do that type of ability ever again? Like, and then you leave plot holes of like, well, why didn't he just do this? So if he could do this and
pull
this
out of the sky,
it was so powerful. Why can't he do this? You know, so leaving it more as a mysterious type of thing, like this is your big bad boss. He just sends out the little guys to do stuff, and then you have a battle with him at the end.
Do you think it's impossible to make a good series where Vader is the main bad guy?
It's not impossible. It's improbable, because you have to have the right directors, you have to have the right actors, you have to have the right writers, and everything. You like, it's one of those things where everything would have to line up in order for it to be great.
I know exactly, and I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here, because I mostly agree with what you're saying. But do you think at some point, especially with the fact that Disney Plus is going to try to destroy every other streaming service in the world, do you think they take a swing at it at some point?
Eventually? Yes. At some point, yes. Whether it will be good or not, I don't know. And that's going to, you know, stuff like that, again, is going to be rolling into like what you see with like Warner Brothers or Sony, where where you have this great idea of a property, and the higher ups are just like, oh, the fans like this stuff. Let's just start throwing this shit in here, and like, you have to have this, but Marvel, you have to do that. No, and I'm saying like right now they do a great job, and Star Wars, you know, same thing. Right now they do a great job, but once this corporate entity that currently controls Disney leaves, what happens to the new people that come in and go, well, let's just try and...
I do think they've shown great restraint of just not giving, you know.
Yeah. When you can sit there and say, John Favreau, here's a bunch of money, here's The Mandalorian, and go and make something really awesome.
Boba Fett.
And then Boba Fett's not the main character. And just watching the teaser trailer there, where you see a dude get chopped in half. And this
By a door. Don't forget to say that. By a door.
By a door. Like,
Jesus.
And this is supposed to be on Disney Plus. Like, you say Disney, you know, that's not a thing where that was one of my big problems going into the Disney Plus thing is like, how adult are we going to be able to get in some of these stories that they're going to be telling because it has the Disney moniker on it, you know?
It seems like they kind of moved past that.
Kids stuff. Yeah. So just that right there is like, oh, they trust him in doing this, and the direction that he's going with it, they're just going to allow him to pretty much it. I'm sure there's things that they're like, well, you can't do this and you can't have, like, you know, nudity or anything like that, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
So the cool thing about this, and it's, I get what you're saying, and I know that fear is in many people's heads, like, oh, Disney's going to neuter all these properties. The thing is, Disney is putting the people they've already put in charge of all the properties normally in place still. So Kevin Feige's in charge of all the Marvel stuff.
Yes.
Dave Filoni, John Favreau, Kathleen Kennedy, Kathleen Kennedy's the main one, all in charge of all the Lucasfilm stuff, so the Star Wars stuff.
And as I'm saying, like, right now as it stands, yes, you know, you're going to get this stuff that's really good. It's just when that guard leaves, when that it's no longer for
well,
them,
yeah, I mean, we can,
that's
we,
when you start to get the questioning for me of,
and like, hopefully done right, unlike any other studio that just will fire people randomly. I'm looking at you, Sony, and Warner and Fox, which doesn't matter anymore because they're Disney. They people like Bob Iger have a plan, and he's obviously found these people that are, he knows, has a vision for what Disney wants for these properties, and like with Kevin Feige and Kathleen Kennedy and can't think of the guy from Pixar right now. Not Brad Bird, the other one. Not the one that's quitting. It doesn't matter. They have these people all in place, and hopefully, if it goes the same way it has been for the last bunch of years in Disney, they will find that next person to take their role, and it won't just be, all right, Kathleen Kennedy, I'm out. Because she cares about the property too much that she will groom the next person, be it J.J. Abrams or be it whoever, to come in that would then keep that going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Disney has changed that over the last, I would say, 15, 20 years to go away from what they were doing, which is basically cannibalizing their own stuff and just doing it for the sake of doing it and actually making it for the long run. And I think that's where, to Mike's point, a lot of the other ones, and even you said it, Warner Brothers and all these other places that are doing their streaming service, like CBS is sort of on the cusp. I think they're thinking in the right direction with the Star Trek stuff and other things like Twilight Zone and things like that, where they have these, where they can put someone like Jordan Peele, for example,
right,
in charge of something that will be what they think they want. Now, if it works, it works. If it fails, it fails. But with Disney, they already have, and I think that's why they're doing this. To Mike's point, to go to Mike's thought process is, I think we're at the cusp of Disney taking those chances and doing long form storytelling to be able to give fan service of things. And I think if they do it right and they take the Cassian series the way that it could be, where it is in that Jaws-ish framework, or Aliens framework, for Joe's analogy, of using Vader as that unseen, like, villain, where he is the main threat. And so when you get to the end of a season, because obviously Cassian's never going to be able to combat Vader.
Toe-to-toe with Vader.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's always going to be that thing where Vader takes down a rebel something, and then they have to reform and go and keep going. Like, so Vader will always be there, and he's never going to have an opposing force, because in that time frame, there was nobody.
No.
Yoda peaced out, went to Dagobah. Obi-Wan took up the loot. Yep, yeah. He took over the guarding of the Chosen One, which is talked about in the Clone Wars show when Darth Maul comes back and he's got the robot legs, and he basically finds out about this Chosen One, goes there, doesn't know, because nobody at this point knows Obi-Wan is alive or where he's at, because everyone thinks he's dead because all the Jedi have been killed off.
Yeah,
but everyone says, like, self-imposed, like, he's guarding Luke. We all know that from A New Hope and further on. And so in the Clone Wars, they did that. Basically, Darth Maul showed up to figure out, because he was always told he was the Chosen One because he was manipulated from birth. Rebirth, I should say, not birth, but rebirth. And so he goes there. He's like, I'm going to kill this Chosen One, not knowing it's a child at that point. And when he finds out who's there, and he goes, oh, you and I got business that is like these metal legs.
Remember this?
Remember this thing? Remember how I was like two pieces at once and now I'm one piece again? I'm still angry about that. And so they have it out, and Obi-Wan's like, you know, this time I'm not gonna let this go.
The uprights.
No, he stabbed him to the heart. Oh. Like, he takes this section and he burns a hole through it with his saber. He goes, hope it's right here. And Darth Maul's like, no, he got it. Shit. And he dies.
If I watched this and that exact scene didn't happen exactly how you described it, I'm gonna be kind of bummed out.
It's like almost exactly how it happens.
Yeah, but I'm like, oh, he got it. Shit.
Oh, well, no, that was me. Like, oh, okay. He didn't say shit. So, like, they can do that. And then people were like, we saw in a cartoon. First off, seeing it in live action is way fucking cooler than seeing it in a cartoon, because you can do anything you want in cartoon.
I didn't see anything in cartoons.
That's right.
I didn't watch cartoons.
So I think what we're seeing, and I think if from what we've heard and the fact that they're already greenlighting season 2 of The Mandalorian, even though it's, again, not being premiered yet, is a good telling of what we have, plus the fact they're going forward with Cassian's show, we're going forward with the Obi-Wan show, as well as obviously we have two more separate trilogies of movies outside of the Skywalker run, with the Rian Johnson ones and the Game of Thrones guys ones, not George R. R. Martin, the other two, D.B. Wise and that one. Yep. Can't think of the names right now. But so they have their trilogy going. And so they're getting this time where they can explore more outside of that with the Mandalorian, the fact that, like, there are no big characters so far shown. I mean, they'll probably have cameos because of the time frame they're in, but I think we're at the cusp of them taking more chances with that and being able to, I mean, with the way this looks, the Mandalorian, I think they found what they needed to make that, because that was the biggest thing with a Star Wars TV show, is they're like, we don't know how to do this right without it making it look like, and I love Babylon 5 and I love those ones, but having that issue where it's like it doesn't look as big as a scope as the movies because of the budget, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And we're in a time frame nowadays that you can definitely do that. You
definitely do that. I mean, The Expanse has shown that.
Exactly, you know. Yeah.
You literally talk like before The Expanse, like much as I love Stargate, it's still like the budget constraints that had on that. You can still definitely tell that's like, okay, that was a really decent CGI.
Yeah,
Battlestar Galactica
looked amazing at certain points, but they had limitations again because the amount of money, like, it was a million something dollars an episode for that shit.
But even that, like the amount of like space battles you got in that was very, very minimal.
Yeah.
Compared to more of the interpersonal drama stuff that you have that had board on
baby
on
episode.
The ships and whatnot, but you get into like something like The Expanse where you're like literally just like ship porn battles. Yeah,
that first one you said did not sound like ship, and I was like, I think I missed that episode because I don't remember ship porn at all being in The Expanse.
You're gross. I said ship.
Yeah, the second time I heard the P sound very much more pronounced, and I was like, oh, he said ship the first time too, because it did not sound that way. I was like, oh, do you watch a different Expanse than I watched, anyhow,
you didn't watch it on your porn?
No, oh. I did not.
It's a different type of Expanse.
Yeah, more of a gap.
Mind the gap.
So we're running out of time.
We are a little over time.
But we'll run through real quick the Marvel stuff, because there's not a whole lot to talk about because we didn't have any footage shown. Well, other than, we didn't get a chance to see the Black Widow footage, but everyone else did. But we don't want to make Mike mad, so we won't talk about it. They did show off Black Widow footage with an official poster as well. We're supposed to get a trailer, but I don't think it's anytime soon. Most likely somewhere around Star Wars time. They talked about Miss Marvel TV show, which is not Captain Marvel. It's someone else. They talked about a Hulk TV show, a Moon Knight TV show. Talked about the Loki show, the Vision Wanda show. I think that was it for TV. Oh, and then they talked more about What If stuff, because the first episode they really talked about was the Captain Carter episode, mm-hmm. which is basically what if Peggy took the mantle of Captain America, which they can't call Captain America because she's not American. But right. well, she took the super soldier serum versus Steve, which is pretty cool. They talked about Ant-Man and Wasp, or Ant-Man character stuff, when stuff going forward with that. Doctor Strange, Black Panther 2 has a release date of May of 2022. The end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Falcon and Winter Soldier has its first villain, who is Johnny Walker, a.k.a. U.S. Agent, played by, as we were talking earlier, Wyatt Russell. Emily Van Camp coming back as Sharon Carter in it, because now she doesn't have Cap, because, well, Cap's her great-granduncle? No, granduncle, right? No, Peggy's her grandmother. Makes Cap her grandfather.
Yeah, something like that.
So, which means she made out with her grandfather. That's before he fucked up timeline, so maybe that didn't happen. Like I said, the She-Hulk show. Kit Harington is joining the Eternals movie as a character called Black Knight, who's not one of the Eternals, but he will be in there. I think that's it. I think I got shotgunned all that stuff. I think it's everything.
And when stuff gets a little bit closer or get more details, we'll obviously go over it.
Yeah, because all the stuff, like the Marvel stuff especially.
Especially some casting stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of casting to be done.
Yeah, like none of the Marvel stuff that I just randomly went over, like TV show stuff, we won't be getting until next year. Even like the What If stuff, I don't think premieres until next year.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really it for the Marvel stuff. But that's Disney... That's D23 Expo 2019 recap-ish thing. The recap stuff we care about, not the rest of that garbage. Because there's a lot more they talk about that we'd not go over.
Yep.
Boom, that's it. Anything else?
No.
Joe, anything else?
No. Mike?
All right, motherfuckers.
Spicy language.
Yeah, bitches. We done. That's a wrap for Comes At You. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual... You fuckers just came naturally.
Yep.